This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thorin Dickerson, Nicholas Harry Cow is here with you on the Fan Morning Show. Got about 50 minutes left in the show, and then I'm headed to Kalahari to go ride some water slides. I'm so anxious. I'm so excited. Can you tell?
Your kids are challenging you.
Yes, they are.
It's good.
Yeah, I'm nervous. Nervous. It's like my first football game. Oh, my gosh. Nervous. The Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. And on that Fan Hotline right now is Pittsburgh Post-Gazette's Chris Carter. Chris, thanks for joining the show, man. You'd think that you'd call in, but you're actually on the video monitor here.
It doesn't matter what I think, Doran. I come in here however y'all need me to come in here so I can be on the show. Thanks for having me on the morning show, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Last night, NBA draft, first round in 14th overall pick, Bob Carrington gets drafted to Portland, immediately traded to the Washington Wizards, Bob Carrington being from Baltimore, 6'3" point guard, one-and-done player out of the University of Pittsburgh. And your initial thoughts, where did you think that he was going to land, first of all? First question, where did you think he was going to go? And is this a good fit for him? And how does this really affect the program moving forward?
So lots of things there, Doran. First of all, I think that this is, as far as a team-wise, I think the Wizards were one of the teams that weren't necessarily the best place for him to go right away because they have a lot of rebuilding to do. I talked to NBA draft experts who were talking about he could be a great fit in Cleveland because he could be a long-term pair with Donovan Mitchell. They talked about him heading to the Heat where he could maybe pair with Jimmy Butler and he could learn behind him. There was a lot of potentials where I think there was more established veteran talent that could help him bring along. He's going to go to the Wizards. And listen, Bub, I think, is going to figure it out. This is a very smart kid. As Jeff Capel was saying just before me on this show, he's a very smart kid. He takes on every challenge that's coming his way. But Bub is still filling out his body. Like, he's going to turn 19, I think, like next month. So, like, he still has a lot of growing to do as far as, like, the thickness of him, his body strength, and then he's going to have to learn how to play with that body strength. So that's going to be a challenge, Doran. That's not something that you just do overnight and just figure it out. But I think it's something that, because he's so young, NBA teams were like, we'll happily take that problem if that's the biggest thing he got going for him. He shot the best at the NBA combine when you look at off-ball shooting or shooting off of screens and everything that he did there. I think he had one of the best three-quarter court sprint times. He did really well in his vertical. So he was able to show, hey, I'm athletic enough. I can shoot the ball. I know this game very well. You know that the biggest thing is just that I'm really young. And as Jeff Capel said, he was the youngest American drafted last night. That's the big difference with Bob Carrington. I think that he will eventually figure it out. I do think it's going to be interesting to see those tough times come through the early part of his time with the Wizards. But that should not discourage Pitt fans from being excited about this. This is huge for the program, and I think could be huge for Jeff Capel's recruiting efforts because this is a big 2025 class he's got coming up here.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Yeah, like that's kind of where, you know, my mind was at last night. Like, okay, like I'm very happy for Bub and his family, to be able to accomplish what he did last night. I mean, the journey's just starting now, but to be able to go to Pitt, to trust Pitt, and to trust his evaluation, I thought that they did everything right. I thought he did everything right, and it panned out in the perfect way. But how does this affect the Pitt program? Do you think that you'll see more players that want to transfer to Pitt? Do you see more recruits that want to go to Pitt, knowing that you could be a lottery pick now?
Well, listen, I guarantee you, Jeff Capel, Milan Brown, Tim O'Toole, all the coaches that talk to players across the country, they were sending eyeball emojis and be like, oh, did you see what happened last night to Derek Dixon, to Malik Thomas, to all the guys, Amari Evans, all these 2025 guys. I mean, in the draft, you heard that name, Overtime Elite, several times. That's where that's the pro sort of high school league that's down in Georgia that Malik Thomas is going to. Two of the main targets Pitt has, Malik Thomas and Amari Evans, also from Pittsburgh, going down to Overtime Elite and played there last year, I actually believe. Those are guys that now can look at Pitt and say, you know, I think I'm a one-and-done player. Why can't I do that? And so now, because if you were before then, you're like, you know what? No one gets drafted out of Pitt, and that hasn't happened for quite some time. Steven Adams is the last first-round pick. Now you look at Bob Carrington and you say, hey, he went one and done, and he was a point guard? I can make that work. And now I think that that's the ammo that Jeff Capel just got from seeing Bob Carrington do that. And again, do that at a young pace. Bob Carrington was a four-star prospect. He didn't come in. Malik Thomas is like a top-five player in the country type of player. If he came to Pitt, there'd be no questions that this would be like a one and done situation. Whereas like it was always kind of hovering around Bub. Malik Thomas will be like, no. That guy is 1 year. He's going to blow it up. He's going to do amazing things. Then he's out of there. But now he can see the path for that. So that's the path that I see helping him get superstars like Malik Thomas, but also other guys that are hovering around Bub's kind of talent. And also, I think it really helps, like Jeff Capel was saying, about how you saw the Pitt team there and how supportive they've been of Bub Carrington and how, like, you know, you saw Papa Conte in that crowd. And Papa Conte didn't get to set foot on the floor last year with Bub, but he was there supporting his boy. He was there supporting his guys. And that's the camaraderie and the culture. And if you think of it, if you're a high school player, you're like, wait a minute. You mean to tell me that I have a good chance to go to the NBA, that I'm going to be competing in the ACC, and you're telling me I get to play with a fun group of guys like that that has all this different talent across it? I might want to pick Pitt there. I think this whole process has only helped Jeff Capel's cause as far as boosting Pitt's recruitment. And by the way, I think he's done a really good job setting up this 2024-2025 team.
Absolutely. The transfers he's got in and, you know, just constructing it. And you know what? I heard him talking, it was a couple months ago or maybe a month ago, and he said that we don't need fuel. But at the end of the day, that you know, they're athletes or coaches, and they were spurned. You know, they were burned a little bit whenever they didn't make it to in the March Madness tournament. Like, that's in the back of your mind. And whenever you have fuel like that and you're kind of constructing the right way and the right roster to do things, I think you can absolutely be dangerous as the time comes. Blake Hinton, will he get drafted today? Should he get drafted today? And will a team be getting a potential good piece to their roster?
Will and should are the different questions there. Should he? I think he should. The guy was the most prolific big shooter last year in college basketball. That should attract people. I get it, though, because if you look at Blake Hinson's career, and look, I wrote about this for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He talked about how, hey, like just a couple of years ago, I was working for Instacart. He was cleaning countertops. He was working odd jobs to make ends meet because it didn't work out at Ole Miss. It didn't work. He didn't get a chance to even play at Iowa State. And then he didn't know where he was going next. And then he found Pitt. And for 2 years, you got to see, oh, that guy's for real. But if you're an NBA team, you know, this is the problem with the NBA, and it's not a problem, it's just the challenge that it goes. There's just so many limited slots. Like, Doran, like in college for you, things didn't work out right away, but you eventually found your place, and you got picked in the NFL. In the NBA, if you're not the elite of the elite in college, it is really hard to get drafted. Justin Champagne, who was ridiculous at Pitt, he was phenomenal. He couldn't get picked in the NBA. He missed getting picked. But it's also a different culture where sometimes you want to be undrafted because guess what that means? Now you can pick who you sign with. Mm-hmm. And that might make the world a difference. Like, I was talking to James Barlow of the Locked On NBA Big Board podcast, and he was telling me he's a Mavericks fan. He's like, listen, if the Mavericks signed him somehow, I would personally pick him up at the airport and drive him to the facility because I think that he would be a great pair with what Luka Doncic does. And he can give me 10 to 16 good minutes in the playoffs of a big who can be physical, but also space the floor and hit the three. And I think there's a lot of teams that do see Blake Hinson that way. I don't know if he'll get drafted because the second round can be weird, but I do think that by the end of today, some team will have him on a contract. Like Jeff Capel said, maybe a two-way contract that works for both of them. He plays a little bit of G League action. He impresses. And then by, I'd say, like maybe December of this year or maybe like January or February of next year, I think he'll be on a bench somewhere and he'll be in NBA games and Pitt fans will be rooting for whatever team has him.
Real quick, will Bronny James get drafted today?
I think so. I think that it just makes a lot of sense with the Lakers. Like they're going to find a way to make it happen.
What do they have? 55? They're 55th?
All the shots there. on there. I look at LeBron James and I say, like, he's been wanting this to happen. And here's the other thing, like, second round picks is just like, you know, on average, they don't always pan out to be like superstar players. They most of the time don't. So if you're the Lakers, this is where you get it. The interesting thing here, Doran, is will another team try to do this to mess with the Lakers right. and then force them to trade for him? That would be the interesting strategy if some team wants to be really stickler about it and to get on and to grind LeBron's gears. That would be a lot of fun to see, but I do think the Lakers do what they need to do to get Bronny.
Well, thank you, Chris. Thanks for taking the time, and I'll talk to you soon, man. Good stuff.
Absolutely, Doran. Thanks. Anytime.
Yes, sir. There he goes. Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette. That was really good stuff. Breaking down Bub Carrington, Blake Henson. It's already something that the Pitt basketball team has a lottery pick, but if they can get two guys drafted in this draft, I think that is fantastic, and it will help out recruiting, will help out transfers, and I mean everything that it goes on with college basketball nowadays. I think Pitt basketball is on the up and up trend of being a place to go, a place to compete, and a place to potentially become a draft pick. Coming up next, we'll dive back into the Pirates. Rubber match, Callis. They won the rubber match. They're off today. Then they go to Atlanta. We'll talk about that next. Fan Text Line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Dickerson, Callis here. Sun is coming out right now. It was a little dark before. Now the sun's coming out.
Oh, those storms yesterday.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Did you hear any of Donnie's show at night?
No, what happened?
It was tremendous.
What happened?
4 EAS interruptions throughout the show. You know, the little...
Yep.
Yeah, 4 times. Twice during Noah Hyles' interview.
That's annoying.
It is.
That's very annoying.
But he played it off very well, and I was entertained.
He's becoming a legit pro after doing all those shows. Those are soul-searching times whenever you do those night shows, 4.5 hours by yourself.
Well, he works.
Then he works before that.
So he's here from 11 to 10:30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's putting in the work. You don't get that much from younger people. Donnie's not super young, but you know, he's doing it the right way. And I like that. I have a lot of respect for that.
The youth.
The youth.
We don't work hard. No.
You do.
No.
See, you know, you guys, there's some anomalies there. The youth doesn't.
I think we focus too much on the ones that make the most noise, and there's a lot of introverted people or people who are just, they exist that aren't in like the public presence. I think that people forget about. And then we just sneak in and take the opportunities.
Well, the cell phones have really changed the dynamics of people. So it's not, I don't really want to blame young people, but having a cell phone, you're able to hide. And I think the social skills aren't where they once were because of texting, because of direct messaging, and you don't really have to have that one-on-one contact to really talk to somebody or to hear somebody's voice on the phone.
Well, I suffer from that too a bit. I'm awkward at times. You see me just blurt out like phrases.
Yeah, I don't think it's your I don't think it's your fault.
I was against getting a smartphone for the longest time. I always wanted a cell phone just to text people and call, but like, never wanted social media. I only got it because I started doing KO games and I needed a place to reach people. And that seemed like the most logical way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't a fan, though, of it.
Robots. AI.
Scary.
Yeah. We might have to get back into that. Pirates won yesterday. Rubber match, as you like to say.
That's what it is.
I know. But I think you just like to say it. You like to say rubber match.
I didn't think about it that way.
Or it could be the last game of the series, or they won the series.
Well, if it was the last game of the series, it could have been the rubber match implies that the series was tied 1 game apiece.
I get the thing.
My headlines are pretty routine these days.
You're doing a great job.
And you got to promote the Pirates because, you know, flagship station right here.
Yes, Luis Ortiz did a great job yesterday. 6 innings pitched, 4 hits, 7 strikeouts on 85 pitches. Kutch had a home run. Brian Reynolds extends his streak to 23 games of getting a hit. Rowdy Tellez, 2 hits and a home run. Gonzalez had a hit. Connor Joe had 2 hits. Jason DeLay had 2 hits. But we were talking about this to start the show. And I go back to Bob Nutting's comments about 4 or 5 days ago and saying that alongside of us having to add to this team, we need to directly get better within our own roster that we have now. And guys need to develop, that guys need to become more consistent. And as I rattled through those names right there, there were some guys that weren't consistent for a short period of time or an extended period of time. Connor Joe hasn't been consistent. He broke out of his slump a little bit yesterday. Nick Gonzalez went through a little slump, broke out of that 2 days ago, and then had another hit. So that's two games in a row with a hit for him. Roddy Tellez, we know his deal. He's been pretty much on fire lately. And you said yesterday that Roddy Tellez is doing well, but he's not doing what we brought him here to do, and that's hit home runs. And then yesterday he hits a home run, so I thought that was pretty funny. But those three guys have really come back from their slumps. But there's still one guy that is missing and a crucial component to this baseball team that is just a hole in this roster, in this lineup, and that is Ke'Bryan Hayes. Ke'Bryan Hayes has done nothing. I mean, he's been hurt a little bit this year, has really done nothing to enhance this this lineup. And you're paying him $70 million. And we were talking about this before, Callis. You know, I said that they paid him mostly for his glove of being that corner infield spot and being one of the better gloves and better third basemen in Major League Baseball. And you said that, you know, he was hitting for a while, so it was a little combination of both, and I can agree with that. But what do you do with him right now? Like, he is the somewhat missing piece. Like, if he just batted and was average, this team would be in a way better spot right now. But you're getting absolutely nothing from Ke'Bryan Hayes, and that is just it is disheartening in a way, because you'd think that he would have carried what he did last year towards the end of the season into this year, and it's been absolutely nothing.
I think people have been clamoring for him to hit for more power, which I never really. I mean, the players got to play within themselves, and his game has always been contact, so I've never been too hard on him for that personally. Hitting just for average, though, would be an important step.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do with him. I really don't. And we had some people talk to us on X2 that I saw were tagging us and making their own comments. You're in between a rock and a hard place here. You've got a big contract that he's on. Maybe not by total baseball standards, but it's a sizable deal.
For the Pirates.
Yeah, I mean, for the Pirates, it was a unique commitment for them to make. And so you've got that big contract, so do you keep paying the big contract and just seeing if he ever figures it out? I can't think of a return they would get for a guy that's got an injury history. It's out there now. I mean, you know, he has one stint with it, and then he like recovers and he's fine. That's great. I mean, it's pretty much come out there now that it's going to be a perpetual thing. So what kind of return do you get for a guy who has a perpetual injury that is one of the core pieces of your body? Your back. I mean, I don't know. I'm concerned.
What should they acquire? If you could pick one position to acquire right now, what would it be? Like, what's the biggest need, in your opinion? Because, I mean, we've asked Mackey, we've asked Wehner, we've asked Neil Walker, Crowley, myself. I don't know if you've ever weighed in on what you really think is the biggest need. If you could pick one position for them to trade for, what would it be right now?
Right now, it'd be third base.
Yeah.
You get a power bat at third base.
Yeah.
I like Ryan McMahon from the Rockies. I think that he could be an interesting piece here in Pittsburgh. He's lefty. The Clemente Wall could play well to him. That would be a guy that I would think of. I mean, if you trust Vladdy Guerrero Jr., I keep going back to the same names, but he played third once. I don't think he can play third as well again.
He's a first baseman, isn't he?
He started his career at third, though. Okay. I don't know. That's probably not an experiment you want to go down. You're right.
Nah.
Somebody at third base. Get me a third baseman that can be consistent and bat for power. And not that I don't like Jared Triolo, but I keep going back to power. You need somebody that can hit for power. You need one or two guys who can be consistent power guys, or at least have two guys on at a time in the lineup hitting for power to, you know, scare the opposing team or like drive in runs. Right now, third base, I don't think you're getting as much power from Triolo on a consistent enough basis. He's also, to me, a contact guy. Again, not that I don't like him. I think he can play well defensively over there. He's fine, but he's not that threatening power bat that I think that they need and they're missing. And so if you want your stereotypical hot corner power guy, run producer, third base would be the position of interest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen things float out there with Josh Bell, Brian De La Cruz, obviously Luis Robert Jr. His name's floated everywhere. My thing is whatever it is, you better get on your horse to get it, because there's other teams that are in the same position you are. And there's not many sellers, but there are teams that, feel like that they're in it. So
you got to dip into the Rockies, the Marlins, or some American League team.
The Rockies, the Marlins, and there's one more team, right?
There's one in the more. National League?
Yeah.
It's just those two that are out of it right now. Yeah.
Okay.
You're not probably not going to get any pieces from any of the teams that are still in it.
Right.
Because you're all competing for that same spot.
Right.
Nobody's going to give any inches here. Nobody's going to throw their hands in the air and give up. So the Rockies and the Marlins are out of it. They could benefit from getting some prospects back, I would think. And then the American League teams, there's more of a pool of them to pick from because they're not as close. So, yeah, I mean, but it gives you enough teams, I would say, that maybe one could work out.
Mm-hmm. You gotta act quick because other teams are thinking the same way.
But then it goes back to the question, do any of those teams need a dented back
right. Third
baseman who's got a lot of great potential? He's on a heftier contract.
I'm also saying even prospect-wise. I'm saying in general, even if it isn't Brian Hayes. Like I do like that we brought that up earlier because it should be a discussion. But even prospect-wise, I think that you need to get on your horse before all the talent between the two teams that you would want to trade with is gone, and then you're SOL.
I'm good with any prospect being traded almost.
Me too.
I don't like Termar Johnson being thrown out there, though. I like him because when he got
where's he going to play? I mean, like,
I know he's not going to play. When he got drafted, he went on the stage or went after the interview. He said, Pittsburgh better look out, and I was very pumped by that. And he seems like a nice kid with passion. And so that's for that reason alone do I want him to stay. But anybody else is fine, yeah. Get rid of some of the depth.
Coming up next, the Pirates just announced the trio that will be pitching against the Atlanta Braves this weekend. Also, for the first time in the history of America, Pittsburgh could learn from Cleveland. And social media's Biggest Loser. We'll talk about that next. Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection. Callis, I just got a text message from Andrew Filippone about the parameters of this hot dog eating contest. Do you know anything? So it's a 10-minute, you have 10 minutes to eat as many hot dogs, right?
Right.
Do you know anything else?
No.
He just told me that there's a prize for the winner. And the prize is $500 cash prize.
Is that right?
$500.
Well, that's extra motivation.
Yes, sir. $500 to the winner of the hot dog eating contest between the producers here at 93.7 The Fan. Like I said before, when we started this show, I expect you to win. You better represent us in the right light, in the right way. Go take it from them. Take their soul. Show them who's boss. Let's go, Callis, and then share the money with us.
I gotta put it toward the fund.
What fund?
The bus fund. Crowley owes you maybe $1,500, though, in assets.
You know, he's paid
assets,
up.
So
he's paid up.
He has?
But he's pretty close.
So we want to give him money and reward him for... Maybe I'll give you a little something.
Maybe me, yeah.
Maybe I'll get
just
you a
me.
Gift.
Maybe me, and then we can make fun of him how he wasn't here whenever you gave me the money, and he's going to be jealous, and he's going to be sad, and he's going to think that we're just taking
I
over
think
the
that's
show.
A better plan
yeah,
there,
that's
Jordan.
A great plan. Great plan. $500. Wow. Let's go, Callis. Come on, you better start training, getting ready. Put some training montage videos out there.
How does one train for this?
Eat.
Well,
hot dogs?
Yeah, I'm pretty good at that.
Try different ways to eat hot dogs. See how many you can get down. Like, don't just go cold turkey into it. Like, if I were you, like, maybe Sunday, I would try to see how many you can eat and see the different types of ways that you could eat it. Eat how many hot dogs the fastest.
It feels gross to me, and I'm trying to lose weight.
Well, it's just, maybe one or two times you have to do it, and then you can go on with your life after that. Right? Social media's Biggest Loser brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. Social media's Biggest Loser for me, real quick, is any sports personality who live tweets about the presidential debate tonight. I do not want to see it. I do not care your political views. Let's stay in our lane here, and let's just continue to talk about sports. I will watch it. I will laugh at it probably, but I am not going to live tweet it, and I hope that I don't see any sports personalities that I follow on Twitter or just in general tweeting about the presidential debate between Biden and Trump. And that's all the political talk you're going to get out of me today, and I hope we don't see any from anybody else. We can learn a little bit from Cleveland for the first time ever in the history of America. The Cleveland Guardians have the 26th highest payroll in Major League Baseball. The Pittsburgh Pirates have the 29th highest payroll in Major League Baseball. The difference between the two is the Cleveland Guardians have one of the best records in Major League Baseball. So enough with the excuses. Enough with it. Like, I mean, you can find players that can bring you wins. And you have some of them on your squad right now. Can you get the most out of them? I mean, that's really what it comes down to. It's the first time ever we can learn anything from Cleveland. Ever. Yeah, I think the Yankees and the Mets have the two highest payrolls. I think they're around 250. Whew. Did he? What did he say?
He said he wants to talk about the hot dog eating contest.
All right, put him on.
You want me to put him on?
Yeah, real quick.
I'll put him on. Hello.
Pony, hot dog eating contest. There's a big prize.
Yeah, it's $500, but I feel like Dallas is not fully invested.
What? Why?
Yeah, I feel like he's the worst kind of person for you, Dory. You're all in. I feel like he's not even half in.
So you wouldn't put your money on Callis. Who are you putting your money on, Donnie?
Cool. Of course. That's my guy.
See?
He's a mean, lean fighting machine. Callis is giving me excuses like, oh, no, it's at 3 o'clock. I don't know how I'm going to make it fit my schedule. I don't know if I can do this with the weight loss stuff I'm doing. I just feel like he's half-assing it. It's like an athlete who takes a paycheck in his last year, who takes, you know, a one-year deal for a bunch of money and then doesn't do all the things he needs to do to train and get himself ready to play.
Callis, I give you some pep talks every once in a while. I'm going to give you the floor right now to defend yourself. I think you really need to make a stance right now about how you feel about this contest. This is a big-time competition, and we need you to come through.
Yeah, I feel like that I'm just, you know, the largest of us all, and I definitely have a specialty in eating, and I figure I was just talking about the facts of my life, but I don't think I ever said that I was going to have to fit it into my schedule. I think I just said I had to tell my boss at my other job that I won't be there on time, which he's usually fine with. He's usually good every once in a while. So I think that Pony just did the thing he does a lot, which is just put a lot of words and a lot of different generalities into the universe and tried to make an argument to try to take me down or try to take my confidence down or try to make my the perception of me look worse. But I'm all right. I'm fine.
It's eating
hot dogs.
Yes.
And I'm large and I'm in charge, so.
See, that's what I like. More of that. I didn't really like the first 2 minutes of your spiel, but you should have started with that. I'm large and I'm in charge. That's a shot across the bow. That's a message sent to Donnie and everyone else. Intern Dom has already said he wants a side cash prize. He said he'll put $100 of his own money up that he's going to out-eat you in a head-to-head competition in this hot dog eating contest.
So $100, I win $100 if I out-eat Dom.
Well,
didn't he throw up once trying to eat a Donnie meal?
Cows, don't feed into it. He's trying to get you riled up. You said what you needed to say.
All right.
Thank you, Pony. Thanks for coming on.
One last thing.
You're breaking up. I can't hear you. He's breaking up. Oh, man. Shoot. I wanted to hear what he had to say. Maybe he'll text me. Oh, man. That's a shame. Callis, I'm counting on you, man. All right. Coming up next, we wrap up the show. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Callis, Joe just came in here and he said that he would love to see the Pirates trade for Vlad Guerrero Jr.
I would like that too, yeah.
As he's wearing a Blue Jays hat.
I noticed that.
Yeah.
I didn't pick up on that quite. That is bizarre.
You know what? Crowley's one of the first ones that brought that up as well. I mean, he brought up the Dak Prescott thing, but even like months ago, maybe like 2 months ago, he brought up Vlad Guerrero, like go after him.
Why does he like Dak Prescott so much?
I don't know.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
No.
Like, I mean, the guy hasn't won anything, and you'd be paying a lot of money for just mediocre quarterback play that can't get you far.
Do you think he could find something here? Or
who, Dak?
Yeah.
Oh.
I didn't think so either, but I just wanted to see what you would.
No.
Yeah, me neither. I don't know.
I mean, come on, no.
No.
No chance. It's not like, no. You would pay that much money for a guy? I don't know. Now you got me riled up.
I wouldn't. I was just, I don't know. Vladdy Guerrero, though. Yeah, nice.
Yes.
Nice idea there.
I would like to see them get like do a two guy get two guys within a trade.
Mm.
I don't know how possible that is. Like I said, like I'm on that train of what the Athletic put out there, a potential proposal of Brian De La Cruz and Josh Bell. Like I'd take that.
Well, you got to ask. I mean, like, do they have any prospects or do they have any guys on their roster that are worth two veteran solid players?
I think they have three prospects that you can get for two.
So you want to give up three top prospects or just three anybody in the pool?
Maybe one top, one in the middle.
See, I don't know if I'm willing to give up a top prospect, top prospect for Josh Bell.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But like,
just
nobody,
by the way he's been playing this year.
Nobody is, I feel like there's nobody that you can acquire because every team is in it.
Exactly.
It's just
nobody's really selling.
And nobody's playing well.
Right.
I mean, everybody's in it because nobody's playing. Like, the pitchers seem to have the advantage. They're all doing at least average, but all the hitters are all below average from what we've seen in league history. So I don't even know if you acquire a Josh Bell-type player that you get the type of production that you're going to expect.
Right. But is it better than the production that you have? That's the question.
Is it worth it to trade away? Now, again, I know we don't love protecting the future, but it has to play a factor at some point. Josh Bell, to me, is not going to be the determining factor. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is.
Yeah.
He's a great home run hitter. He struggled with his average at times, and he goes on streaks, but like, I think the good outweighs the bad with him. I think Ryan McMahon on the Rockies, going to bring that up, is underlooked because the team is so bad. So, you got to ask yourself, like, is trading for one of these guys worth a Solomato or a Johnson? And it's not so much just about protecting the future, but it's about weighing your assets properly. If you're going to trade a top prospect for an established guy, that's an even trade.
Mm-hmm.
It's more lopsided if I give away Solomato just because he's a good pitcher and there's a lot of pitchers, just to get back Josh Bell, who's still going to hit 200 and maybe eclipse 20 home runs this season. You know. Yeah,
that's a great point. Thanks for your input, Callis.
Yeah, no problem.
I'll see you next week. I'll see you Monday. Have fun. I don't know who's in tomorrow.
I don't know either.
We'll have fun.
Maybe I'll just be alone. That'd be an interesting dynamic.
That would be. I'm going to Kalahari. I'll see you.
Bye-bye.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy 24 Silverado LT Crew Cab. Up to $7,500 in rebates, full terms and qualifications at sunchevy.com. Today, high of 89, low of 60, partly cloudy. Tomorrow, high of 84, low of 66, 60% chance of rain.